The Monday Play. Spin a Loving Thread by Alec Rowe. With Betty Hardy as Mrs. Deans and Stephen Pacey as Andy.
Settle! Settle! Window! And door! Peace be upon you, my boys, and make it soon. So, here we are, my shining souls, shunning on the one hand the brutal and licentious soldiery, and on the other the allure of jockstrap and liniment. My new intake, the autumn term. Fourth year social service unit. Nose picking good, as the colonel might have said. Enough Celtic flamboyance, my boys. Autumn term is granny term. Now, here on my list, 16 grannies, some old, some new, lots sweet, lots vile, but all seemingly panting for your compulsory social servicing. Here in my lunchbox, amid the scraps of today's cheese and onion, on 16 grease-stained scraps of paper, your 16 grease-stained skiving names. So, here we go, for Granny 1, Bobo. Andrew Nairn plays Granny Deans. Some appreciation, damn you. This is a big moment.
What you might call a sort of unknown quantity.
God help you both.
Why on earth? Boyle calls it rent-a-chrome.
Gosh,
I like it. What are we eating?
Salad.
Why shouldn't Andy take up this old woman?
No guidelines, no training, not even any practical advice.
Well, Boyo says there's only two rules. One, wipe your nose. Two, never turn down a cup of tea.
Monica tells me the official services hate it.
I thought one of your special beefs was how understaffed the official services are.
I just don't like it.
Bad luck. Presumably most of the grannies do. Not really. You should hear some of last year's lot. And contrary to your mother's prejudices, presumably they do give you some idea. Just go and do things, I suppose.
Not cheese and apple salad.
Where does this old lady live? Trent Road somewhere.
Well, don't bubble over quite so enthusiastically about my salad.
Oh, great. Great.
Trent Road. Even the backgrounds are wrong.
Or maybe just different.
Pass the crisp bread.
Pass the dressing.
Show me the card.
It's just twice a week.
Well, I suppose anything's better than the cadet force or compulsory games.
Yep. Mrs. Deans, 136 Trent Road.
What strikes you so funny?
Rent-a-chrome.
Hello? My name's Andy Nairn. From the college. Could you come down to the door, please?
Jesus.
Hello, Mrs. Deans. From the college, you know?
Pleased to come in, sir.
Great.
You won't mind the kitchen, sir?
No, sure.
Pleased to come through.
After you.
Thank you, sir. They wrote you were coming.
Very nice. Your kitchen. Like the cat.
Please to sit down, young man.
Sorry?
For your tea.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. Great, thanks.
Please to come to here.
Great.
Just made the tea?
I could have done that. You shouldn't have gone to all this. I mean, I'm here to help, really. This is very nice.
I remember your appetites. Here we are, then. Let it settle.
Like your cat.
Getting old like his mistress. He's Mr. Muir.
Huh? I mean, all this is great, Mrs. Deans, really. But I'm here to work. You've done all this specially, I expect.
Tea, young man?
No, this Sir thing and young man, everybody calls me Andy.
Oh.
No, no, I like it, honestly.
Well, Andrew, then, till we get to know each other.
Sure.
Now, you help yourself. There's some jelly there on top of the milk. I got that jam from a friend. She made it herself. And today's bread. Apple tart.
What have you got for me to do? I can do almost anything. Well, what I mean is I can try.
Lovely cup of tea.
Yes.
Mr. Muir and me, we've knocked on together for 15 years now. Look at the old boy. He knows we're talking about him.
Sure. Great.
They said my boy would have passed the scholarship to the college, but he never sat for it. You're a scholarship boy, Andrew.
Yep.
That's my boy there. On the shelf there, look.
Oh, yes.
My goodness, but he's done well for himself.
Great.
Everybody said he'd have passed. Come along now, bread and butter.
No, thanks.
I'm sure you'd like to try a nice scone.
Honestly, I'm fine.
Well, you could manage a bit of that tart, I know. My boy was just the same. Is the tea strong enough?
Look,
for
Mrs.
You?
Deans, I'm fine. Now, honestly. Great.
You've got a peaky look about you.
What are you on about?
You need some building up. I don't know what they'd have to say at the college about these old blue trousers of yours. Bet your mother never put those patches on, neither.
They're supposed to be like that.
You bring them next time and we'll see what old Mother Deans can still do with a needle and thread. Now, a nice apple for the digestion.
Look, Mrs. Deans, I mean, I think we've got this all wrong. I mean, I'm here to work, right? That's what I'm supposed to do when I come here. I'm company, yes, sure. But the main thing is what I can do for you. Painting, mending, gardening, that sort of thing. I mean, look at your garden out there. That's the sort of thing. I mean, there could be complaints about a garden like that.
Complaints?
Okay, well, not actually complaints.
Who's been complaining?
No. What I'm trying to say...
I haven't got a garden.
What are you on about? I can see it.
There's not the time. I'm not well.
Okay, fine. That's what I'm saying. I can sort it out for you.
What else have they been saying to you?
Oh.
I think you'd best get up back to that posh college of yours, my boy.
What?
All my life I've paid my way.
Look, Mrs. Deans, all I'm saying is I'm not a kid. I'm 15 and that I'm here to work, not sit round all day eating jelly, that's all. Now, if you don't want me to touch the garden, great. But I'm here to work... And I'm not a bloody kid.
I'd expect manners from a college boy.
What?
You heard. I don't need to repeat myself.
Bloody tongue.
Ah, now we see it. Now we see the true colours.
What right have you got to lecture me about manners?
That's the way. Go on.
Look, I came round here to help you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you kindly. When you're active enough and got money enough...
I don't have
some
to do
means,
this.
That's different then.
I don't have to put up
yes,
with
a
this.
A different story. I think you'd better be on your way.
I think I'd better go.
Yes.
Right. Thanks for the tea.
Little sod. Come in.
Right.
If you'll come this way.
Upstairs?
That's right. You go first, please.
Younger legs.
That's right. Up to the landing.
Right.
Door at this end.
You want to get that door fixed? Jesus.
No one's been in here years. So if you could tidy it up, sweep the dust, damp mop and rag.
It's filthy.
Of course, if it's too filthy for a
corner. Broom?
All ready for you at the corner there. Put an old box out for rubbish.
You realise I'm not meant to stay after 6. Mrs. Deans.
Andrew.
Terrible day.
How's the iron now?
Working a treat. I've got the shopping list.
Great.
With this weather, it's not really worth you coming in. I put down the shops I go to and mark prices.
Great.
The paint's dry in the bathroom. Did the marks come off your shirt? Come out of the way, Mr. Muir. Stair rods and find a hammer, he said. We bought one of those screwdriver things, didn't we?
Yes or no?
What do you want?
It's not a case of what I want.
Well, if you'd like to.
Mrs. Deans, if you want me to take down the boarding and reglaze the back windows, then fantastic, great, I will. That's what I'm here for. Work, work, and bloody work. I can leave the materials and tools to you.
I don't know.
Glass, putty, got a glass cutter?
I don't know.
I'll make a list before I go. Now, before I pack up for the night, is there any small job you want me to do?
Well, I'll go and look.
Christ. Mrs. Deans! Mrs. Deans! I've got the last of the wood.
I'm coming. I make some tea.
Great. Hey.
What is it?
What's all this?
Well, the things on the table.
Oh, two Truder things on the table.
Oh, I've had them for years. I thought you might like to polish them up a bit.
Where the hell did you find them? I've covered every inch of this house one way or another.
Bits and pieces, silver and brass. I like this copper tray. They were under the stairs.
You've been in the cupboard under the stairs? I only varnished in there yesterday.
Finding you a job.
Ruining my floor.
It was nearly dry.
What is all this?
The windows look well.
So they should. I just clean them, every one. And now there's all this.
You wanted jobs.
Working for you has become a way of life, Mrs. Deans. Look at my jeans. Look at my poor bloody hands. I'm not a skivvy, Mrs. Deans. Now there's all this.
Well, sir, I'm very sorry. I took you at your word. Jobs, you said. Only here to work, you said.
You know what I mean.
I certainly do not.
Okay, forget it.
We certainly will not forget it.
Oh, Jesus.
What you said, what you told me, was that you were not a child.
Okay, okay.
And that the only reason you were here was to work.
I didn't say that.
You most certainly did.
I mean, I'm supposed to be, I don't know, some sort of companion. I mean, it's age and youth, isn't it? That sort of thing. You know, you provide the experience, maturity and all that. I provide... well, energy, high spirits, that sort of thing.
Energy.
You know.
I had more spirit and energy at 60 than you have now. Look here, my lad, before I was even half your age, how old are you now? 15? Well, my lad, when I was 8, I was working harder than you'll ever work in your life. And it wasn't just for fun, something to do.
Working for you is supposed to be fun.
I was a skivvy at 8.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, here we go. I tell you, young man...
Oh, so it's young man now, is it? Come on, tell me.
Right, I'll tell you. It's been a sight more worrying and wearying following you about, clearing up afterwards, getting things straight.
What?
Oh, yes, finding out piddling little things for you to do that don't need doing.
You what?
To keep Mr. Andrew Nair and Esquire happy. So don't you think you're hard done by. I've worked myself sick to get things together for you to feel cocky and smug about.
This is fantastic. It really is. I mean, you treat me like some sort of slave, skivvy, all bloody hours of all bloody days.
And swearing, that's another thing.
Swearing?
You swear too much. I don't want to listen to it anymore. Thank you very much.
Swearing?
I think it would be better if you...
Swearing or not swearing has nothing to do with anything.
Come visiting again.
In any case...
Since you begrudge every bit of time and help you spend...
In any case, Mrs. Deans, madam, coming here and doing every rotten, filthy job you give me would make St. Peter crack his halo and have a bloody good curse.
Do you know how much it's costing me to keep on finding work for you to do?
Right.
Right.
You crones really are selfish and ungrateful.
You're the ungrateful one, you stuck-up little sod.
Right.
I wish my boy was here.
Well, he's not. You were right about him being smart. You're a hard man, McGrew.
What do you mean? I was prepared to forgive and forget, Willie.
She was the one who wouldn't let me in.
Well, so she was out.
She never goes out. She gets suckers like me to go out for her.
It got an answer to question three?
No.
Four?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I put up with the mothering stage, you know, being made to feel about 6 and a half.
I suppose you must be the only one available for the treatment.
No, not any longer, mate. She had me there virtually the whole of last week. She must have spent her entire week sorting out things for me to do.
Tiring.
Right.
Well, at her age. Number six.
A equals 3.5. B equals 7.25.
Right.
Oh, shit.
There's a man's life in the granny corps.
I should forget it if I were you.
Think it's a pity.
It's inevitable, the way the college handles these things. Here we are, parsnip, cauliflower and nut cutlet.
Great.
Great.
No training, guidelines, differing backgrounds. What did anyone expect? Crisp bread, please.
Marge, please.
I mean, those two meals she gave you must have cost her a fortune. It's ludicrous. How does the college expect any senior citizen to afford that? Grated carrot, anybody?
Mrs. Deans! Mrs. Deans!
Smoke was coming from the chimney.
What do you want me to do?
To tell me what I ought to do.
What do you want to do?
No.
Don't care?
Oh, come on.
Walk back with me. Bell's about to go. Neighbours?
Just the one side. Maybe he's over there.
Maybe she simply doesn't want you.
Could be. On the other hand, she spent a fortune on food for me.
And the rest, from what you say.
What rest?
Paint, tools, materials, you name it. All the things you said pissed you off. Where do you think they came from? Expensive, Andrew.
So she had me slaving a whole week.
Maybe she thought those were the only terms you'd keep going on.
Oh, Christ.
And watch the language. They don't like it.
What do I do?
Garden?
Hang about. Jesus. Garden. Oh. Right then.
Afternoon, Mrs. Deans. Sweeping leaves. Mrs. Deans, digging your garden for the spring. If you're missing Mr. Muir, he's down here with me.
Morning, Mrs. Deans. I caught my jeans on a nail in the shed. Wouldn't see a young gentleman from the college with his bum hanging out, would you?
Come in. When me and my man was wed, Andrew, we sat down here in our house alone for the first time. Do you know what he did? He brought out two bits of paper and a couple of his pencils. He was with the buses then. Draw us a chair, he says. Oh, you can imagine what I thought. Chair. Anyway, I draw this chair. A kitchen chair. Mm. He draws his chair. Right, he said, and put the papers side by side. His chair. Well, it was a huge leather thing you could hide in for a week. I laughed. You would too. So then, he looks at me in the eyes. Right, he says. If you and me can't come to agreement on what a chair is, well, my gal, we're going to need one devil of a lot of grin and bear it if ever we come on a trickier problem. And that's right, Andrew. It's not understanding that's important. It's accepting the differences in people, putting up with each other.
Mm. Corny.
Suppose it is.
Might be something in it.
Andrew? Cup of tea?
What? What?
Tea.
Oh, right.
Can I see?
Your garden shed, milady.
Oh, look at this stupid cat.
Have it seen to it. Thinks it's a dog.
Loves to follow somebody about. Oh, the garden's not looked like this for years.
Well, come inside and see the shed. What's the matter?
It's just funny how it gets you. Sounds and smells from a garden in winter. Tickles the memories, son.
Yeah.
It's getting back like it used to, see?
Oh.
Yes.
Happy memories?
Oh, yes. Most.
Okay, that's good, isn't it?
I think it is absolutely ridiculous. Spinach and sage fritters with plain boiled rice.
It's great.
Great.
If Andy wants to borrow our whole wallpapering caboodle, then he is more than welcome.
I would have thought the least the great good college in its bounty could have provided is tools and materials for whatever fatuous notions its do-gooders are fantasizing about.
Big words do not constitute wit.
I'm deadly serious.
Oh, for God's sake.
And it is more than patently absurd that the old woman should have to pay for any of it. Pass the carrot.
If Mrs. Deans wants a room or two repapered sufficiently to want to make the necessary readjustments to pay for paper and paste...
And paint, or some of it.
You're paying the rest?
It's not much.
She should apply to the landlord or the council.
It's her own house, I think.
Then she should apply to Social Security. They'd send round people with experience.
Andy wants to do it.
Andy is an amateur, and also a child. And incidentally should not be subsidising the department's work.
What point are we groping for?
That the desire for new decorations is probably symptomatic of some insecurity.
Psycho-rhubarb.
Oh, you are such a fool.
As we vegetarians say, stuff it.
Sorry.
Oh, dear me, dear me, dear
me. Come on.
When Wednesday comes, this is the last of the meat being eaten. Mam has her bones in the pot. Bones in the pot with spuds and onion and bread dumpling. This is my favourite. It was too. Then the meat is all gone till next week. This is my favourite when autumn comes because of the fire in the grate and the lamp. It is cosy. What? Hmm? Oh, my spelling. Cozy. Cozy when we all sit round the table. Nell is to go dancing on Saturday, and Dad teases her cruel, so we laugh, and Nell does. After we sit quiet for Mam to tell story. Should be for Mam to tell a story, I suppose.
Oh, that's another world.
Oh, poor Dad with all us girls. Mam, then Dorothy, Nell, me, Kath, Tess, and Hilda. Not that he complained much.
Hmm. Good old days.
Good and bad, like old days. Everything's a parcel, good and bad mixed up inside. It takes more brain than I've got to sort it out.
Hey, any news from Tom?
Oh, he'll get a card, Christmas, and a present, of course. Never forgets his old man. Hey, Mr. Muir? Look at this silly old tomcat.
Mr. Muir, why did you write all these things down?
I don't know. Good times, I dare say, mostly. And I wanted to have the memory. Come on, now, let's have that other light on. Then you've got to get away, I dare say.
Yeah, I guess so.
My old man, the one that drew the chair, he wasn't the one. You wouldn't think so, but I was in pretty fair demand in the village. I was a real corker in those days. We had some good times, too. And away I went to the big house, and I met Joseph there. And he was the one. You wouldn't have thought much to him, I dare say. Not much of a catch, poor little Joseph, but I doted on him. Honest to God, I did. Under butler, that's what Joseph was. So deep we fell in love, the two of us. But he was promised, and that was that. He got engaged. A nice girl and true friend to me. I moved to the next house, and that's where I met Tom's dad. He was a good father and husband we never wanted, but never the one. You met the one yet?
Some hope.
Our Cath was wed at your age. There's a thought for you. And none of us was much behind.
Did you ever write anything about you and Joseph?
Who'd on earth would want to be reminded of something sad like that?
So here we have another example of Gunn equating departure with death in a situation of love. So, break off this last lamenting kiss. The tendency towards the dramatic opening line from which the rest of the poem will spring, which sucks two souls and vapors both away. Vapor is a verb, okay? So the two lovers are having a last kiss, and the poet wants his soul to be sucked up into a vapor, which becomes a spirit, which becomes a ghost. Following? What's wrong with you, Nan? Swallowed a lemon?
What does it look like?
All right.
Now hold the steps. Hand is round and that old woman's far too much. What about over there, above the print?
All right.
Well, don't you think he spends too much time over there? What with O-levels and the rest?
I suppose he does spend a fair time with her.
3 or 4 times a week. Well, what the hell am I going to do with this holly branch?
Put it in the place it goes every year. It is our only Christmas decoration, after all.
Nasty pagan habit.
Christmas?
You know what I mean. Oh, all right, if you insist on being so unadventurous, bring the steps. What do you think the great attraction is over at Trent Road? Look, are you helping me or not?
I can't imagine why he prefers it.
All I say, boy, is don't get too involved. It all ends in tears. You can't make up for everything an old girl that age has lost. No one could. Mistake to try. God almighty. Listen to Mr. Wilkinson's castrati. Wassail. One good wassail and that lot will drop their vibratos. No, Andrew, take advice now. Don't get too involved. It's not kind.
Rubbishy thing.
Should I turn it off?
Sentimental rubbish.
It's just Christmas.
Too much eating, too much drinking, too much spending for those that can afford it.
It's not much like Christmas Eve, is it?
You're the awkward age, my boy.
Too old for Father Christmas and too young for the festive fizz-up.
Language.
No, trouble is, Christmas is a family time. You'll be all right tomorrow, will you?
Heavens, yes. We've seen Christmases, just the two of us, before. Haven't we, Mr. Muir?
Hope he likes his present.
What, lamb's kidneys? He'll think I've won the pools.
It just seems silly, that's all. You stuck on your own here, me stuck at home.
Family time, like you said. Best present you can give your mum and dad is a whole day of you at your best, eh?
And you won't go round to the college on Boxing Day?
Couple of small sherries and 20 like me rabbiting on about young people today and the cost of butter. No, thank you.
Mr. Oldright's going to do conjuring tricks. Junior choirs singing carols.
That's the trouble, isn't it? The real trouble. We all expect a little bit of magic at Christmas. And when it doesn't come, well...
Wouldn't you like it to be true? It's a very big Christmas card, Mrs. Deans. I bet the present's great, too.
Yes.
He'd be very busy this time of year. February will soon come round. He says February.
If I leave that long.
Silly. Well?
Yes.
See you Boxing Day.
Without the choir and the tricks.
Right. And, is a present for you.
Oh.
Not much. Hope you like it. You can change it if you don't.
Thank you, Andy. And if you go out into that garden of ours, you'll find a little something under the tree.
Under the tree?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrific. That's magic.
Don't expect too much.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Mrs. D. Thanks, Mr. Muir.
See you Boxing Day.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Cold, cold January, and the ranks grow thinner. Marsh and Steele have this day taken the Queen's 5p. Connolly has defected to hockey, and as those of you who managed to turn up to the junketings on Boxing Day will know, Granny Thursfield passed quietly away sometime during the entertainment. No reflection whatever upon Mr. Oldright's truly amazing sleights of hand or the somewhat alcoholic ramblings of the junior choir.
How are you?
Excuse me. Enough Welsh wizardry. This term, you can swap to hospital visiting or youth work. The sick or the savage, which I leave to you. You may, of course, continue with your grannies. So here we go. Loud and clear, if you please. Stick, twist, or bust. Nan?
I thought you liked hockey. Jellied vegetables on mixed winter salad.
Great. Great.
Crisp bread, please. You were very good at hockey in the junior school. You could have been in the team.
I thought we were against competitive games on principle. Crisp bread, please.
We're doing good. His health.
Ah.
And he mustn't forget O-levels are nearer than he probably thinks.
So everybody's been telling him.
Well, it's true.
I thought we were also against living exams as a way of life.
You twist everything I ever say. As you well know, the system exists, so we must live with it.
Ah.
And if he wants odd jobs to do, we can find him enough round here, surely to God.
Or Monica could. Or Molly.
Oh, yes.
Or anybody at all, except Mrs. Deans of Trent Road. Or am I twisting it all again?
This is a bit sloppy, isn't it?
It exists, my son. So we must live on it.
Very funny. Dressing, please. If she's having difficult times, so is everyone. Anyway, where's this famous son of hers? He seems a shade mythical, if you ask me.
He's a very busy man.
If he exists.
Andy?
Yes?
Cold it is out there. Not so warm in here either.
Toughen you up a bit.
Thank you, my lord. Here.
Great. Better, better.
Hope it chokes you.
And where's the biscuits then?
Don't need biscuits. Biscuits on a day like this.
What's wrong?
Makes you fat, biscuits. Cutting down.
Thought you like them too.
Well, Andy. Truth is, I've got to cut down a bit. Money's tight, that's all. Biscuits and one or two other little things.
I can bring a few biscuits.
Don't be silly. Biscuits, bit of cake, this and that.
Who needs it?
Who needs it? When are you going to get a girl, then?
What?
Time of year. Supposed to be spring, isn't it? You know, in the spring, a young man's fancy. Oh, not in my family. Winter did it for us. Every birthday, an autumn one.
So that's what you all did before the telly.
Damn sight more fun, my boy, I can tell you. You never talk about any girl of yours.
You are incredible. What the hell has my personal life got to do with you? It's incredible.
You're not upset, are you?
I'm not upset at all. I'm not embarrassed.
No.
Anyway, what can you do about it if I can't? Oh, I don't know. I get all mixed up about it.
Talk to your dad.
He tells me to talk to Mum, and she just brings it all down to sex.
Suppose quite a lot comes down to that, really.
No. I know what to do, for God's sake. She left so many pamphlets and books in my room, I'm the school's technical expert. On paper, I'm Casanova. It should all be so bloody simple.
Find the right girl, and it is?
I know. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. I got so uptight about it. I mean, I'm 15. 15! And I've never even really kissed a girl properly. You know, properly. I'm going to blow up sometime. I really feel like that, you know? The frustration.
I suppose we were lucky being a big family and all girls. We all passed on the information. And Mum and Dad were so open, they let us see they loved each other and, well, seemed the most natural and easy thing in the world.
Can't say we get much of that at home.
Your dad never kissed your mum in front of you?
No.
Squeeze her backside?
Oh, Christ.
Jiggle her up and down in his lap?
This is Teens.
Petty.
I've danced with girls at parties, discos, that sort of thing.
Well, surely something can develop from that.
No. No good. No way. I mean, I don't know what to say or do. Uptight, you know? I mean, it can be so embarrassing. I get so frustrated. Well, sometimes I just have to give up dancing right in the middle. I get... Oh, hell, you probably don't even know what I'm on about. Let's just chase...
Slow dancing, you mean close together?
Yes.
Andy, son, a girl likes knowing her partner's being excited.
Likes it?
When a girl's gone to the trouble of getting herself up to look as tasty as she can, you think she likes her boyfriend to show about as much interest in her as a sack of coal? What do you think slow dancing was invented for?
You mean it?
You'll be ready when you're ready. You're not a lot to look at, my lad, but you'll do very nicely for a good few lucky girls, I promise you. Bloody winter. Life's too short to worry over some things, Andy. Love and making love, it takes its own time. And it's something everybody ought to get the benefit of as soon as possible.
How old would you be then, the first time? Know what I mean?
12.
12?
Didn't enjoy it till 13.
Oh, God! God! She said what? 12. Bloody hell! What were you talking to her about that for?
Why not? She'll actually talk about it. Not like my two, who think every problem has its pamphlet. Wonder I'm not hung up on printers.
Not your type.
Oh.
No, but there's something not quite nice about chatting lustily about lust to a lusty old girl in her 70s. I shall get your flies stitched up before you go round there again.
That is disgusting.
Well, so is geriatric sex.
For that little remark, the next round is definitely on you, Willie.
She really said 12, but didn't like it till 13.
Sure did.
Bloody hell. Those were the days. Lager?
It's absolutely wrong.
No need to overreact. He tells us about it quite naturally.
Look, when any old lady begins telling my son the ins and outs of the birds and bees, then I want to know why. Pass that bowl.
Perhaps she's more interesting about it than we are.
It's not a case of interest. I've given Andrew every possible scrap of information. I'm aware it should be the prerogative of the father, but...
I repeat. Nobody ever gave me any information whatsoever, verbally, pictorially, or in several hundred volumes.
Very funny.
And I feel I haven't done too badly.
Pass that casserole.
Coffee?
Pure information objectively supplied by a parent means no hang-ups, no neuroses.
Perhaps you were too pure. Perhaps he finds the tinge of naughtiness and sin just a wee bit turning on.
Oh, you're so reactionary. Is that the lot?
Look, I tell you what. Instead of coffee, why don't we open a bottle or two of Vino and unplug the telly and the phone?
I wish you'd take off that apron.
Come on. Look, Andy's out with his old girl.
Some comfort.
We could even... bring out the Sinatra album.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, and don't do that.
Right. When I was 12, it was stamp albums and cricket.
I'll have my coffee in the hall. I want to phone Molly.
And as for enjoying it...
Enjoying what?
Never mind.
They've got you, Andy, son. You just got to put up with it.
But you don't.
It's the age, Andy. And it's a sight better than the old days, so you won't hear me complaining.
You should complain.
They won't listen. Oh, I'll get along. Don't you worry.
Look, you paid taxes all these years. You're entitled to ask for a bit of help if you can't make ends meet. My mother's always saying so.
We'll pull through.
Look, let me help a bit.
You youngsters need money more than us old ones these days. And what do you mean, let you help? You do help. I don't know what I'd do without you.
What about doing without him?
Mr. Muir has been poorly before.
For a month?
He's old.
Let's get a vet.
I can't get the money together.
Then let me try. I'll ask the master in charge of social services. My parents...
No, we'll manage.
Mr. Muir's pretty bad, Mrs. D, isn't he? Come on, admit it. He can't keep much down. Look at him. Do you think he's going to pull through on his own?
We'll manage.
Oh, okay, and what next? What's the next thing you're going to have to do without? Come on, tell me. It started with biscuits, then you cut down on coal, now you go to bed early.
All right,
I mean, son. What next? It's still only February. There's a lot of winter to get by yet.
I said, all right, Andy.
Get in touch with Tom. Let him help.
Leave us something, boy. A few scraps of dignity and being able to say no. It's about all there is.
It's crazy.
Well, it's all crazy. Prices, people, feelings, all gone crazy.
I'll bring a few things tomorrow anyway.
If you want.
And some liver for Mr. Muir.
You'll like that.
You worry me.
Do I? Glad someone worries.
What do I do, sir?
Get her to go to the supplementary benefit people. Or get in touch with them. They'll send someone round.
No, I'll try if she won't.
What's she going short of, boy?
Well, biscuits. Well, she's cutting down on everything. Fish. God, it all sounds so petty when you're listed. Her style of life's slipping down the drain, that's all. Her pet's sick. She's not very well herself.
Might be able to do something for the beast, I suppose. A one-off grant to cover vet charges. How old's the pet? What is it?
A cat. 15 years.
It's not sick, boy. It's wearing out. Okay, I'll put it up at the meeting next week.
What do I do, Mum?
Absolutely nothing you can do. Get her to apply for supplementary benefit. That's what they're there for.
Had a word with Boyo?
He says what she says.
If all this were in the proper department's lap instead of amateur...
Okay!
Well, others are coping.
Yes, but that cat's ill.
A sick animal in the house is very unhealthy.
Okay, but will someone tell me what I ought to do?
I've told you. Ring up Mr. Walker at the Department of Health and Social Security. Number's in the book. Get him to send an inspector.
Mrs. Deans won't see anyone. She doesn't understand.
Then she'd better start to learn.
Here's a quid or two, anyhow.
Yes, thanks, Dad.
Walnut vegetable and noodle pudding.
Great.
Where's the noodle?
No comment.
Afternoon, Mrs. D. God, you look terrible. What's wrong?
Shut the door, son. Keep the cold out.
Sorry. What's wrong?
Bit off colour.
You look terrible.
Feed Mr. Muir, will you, love? And make us a cuppa.
Yeah, sure. What is it, flu?
Bit off colour.
Well, I had anything to eat today.
Oh, I couldn't. Can you put some fresh water down for the old boy?
Yep. Have a biscuit with the tea anyway.
Oh, you shouldn't bring biscuits, I told you.
Well, I got a few extras today. Bloody good job, too.
Where'd you get the money?
I robbed the church on the corner. Listen, you ought to get the doctor round.
No, I'll be all right.
Well, I got another bit of liver for Mr. Muir.
Oh.
Liver coming up. Tea and biscuits on the make.
Thanks, son.
How is he today?
Just the same.
He's so bloody thin.
Oh, I can't keep much down.
I'll get some clean newspaper for him.
Take the old outside and burn it, Andy.
Yeah, right.
I know it's not very nice.
Can't help it. Come here, old boy.
Poor old Tomcat.
Then we'll see about you. Got any aspirins or anything in the house?
Somewhere.
Couldn't you light the fire?
Oh, I'm hot enough as it is.
Hang about, then. I'll just go and burn this paper.
I think there's aspirins in the sideboard.
All right, I'll see to it.
I'm going to have a little snooze till tea.
That I permit. Mrs. D. Mrs. D. Come on now, Mrs. D.
What?
Good snooze.
What is it?
It's a cup of tea, a boiled egg, and a piece of toast. Huh? And I've been out for some tablets.
There are plenty in the drawer.
No.
Pass my purse, then.
Relax, for God's sake. I told you we had a bit of luck. Did a few jobs for the parents. Drink this.
Oh. That's a bit better.
Second cup.
Yes, please. I don't think I could manage that egg, Andy.
You can.
No, don't think so, son.
Bloody try now, I've boiled it.
All right.
Well, you look a bit better, I'll give you that.
You get off home now.
No, I'm
fine.
No, I'm not going till we've got this money thing sorted out.
There's nothing to sort out. Now you get off home.
You're not well because you're not looking after yourself properly. It is the dead of winter, for God's sake. Now, you can't look after yourself because prices are too high for food and heating. You need help.
I'm a bit off colour. I don't need anything.
Okay, so what do you want? You want that cat to die? Do you want to die yourself, that is? You want me to come in one afternoon like I did today and find you stretched out somewhere? Just because you won't ask for what people want to give you anyway. Think of me for a change. Think of Tom. Don't be so bloody selfish.
I'm good for a few years yet. You can talk to me like this when you're my age and half as good. There's nothing wrong with Margie Deans, believe you me. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. I'm just a bit run down. We'll manage, Mr. Muir and me. All right now.
You worry me sick.
Better not. One sick's enough. You get off now. See you tomorrow.
I'll come round about 11.
You posted the letter to Tom?
Yep, in the box.
Andy, I'm all right, son. Really, I am.
See you tomorrow.
Be rushing round like a 5-year-old.
Hope you sleep well.
See you tomorrow.
See you. See you, Mr. Muir.
He says thanks, too.
Dear Mr. Deans, I'm writing to tell you that your mother, Mrs. Marjorie Deans, of 136 Trent Road, Gloucester, is not well and low in herself. She is also very worried about her cat, who is sick, which is sick. She's always saying how busy you are and how your job has a lot of responsibility, but if you could come down to see her or send some money for her, it would do her a lot of good. I hope you won't mind me writing like this, but I thought you would want to know this.
Address from the letter I posted last week to you. I hope you're well and will come down soon. Yours sincerely, Andrew Nairn. Oh, where's his cat then?
Mrs. D, you okay? Oh, afternoon.
This is Tom, Andrew.
You wrote a letter?
Yes. Yes, how are you?
I've got the kettle on.
Oh, that's right. Now, you pop upstairs a while. I want to have a word or two with young Mr. Nairn here. Oh, it's all right. We turn the gas off when it boils.
Yes. I'll go upstairs for 5 minutes then.
She looks okay to me. Fit enough for her age, time of year.
Yes.
Not so good when you wrote the letter.
No.
So you were a college boy.
That's right.
Never mentioned you in any of her letters.
Why should she?
You seem to be number one round here. Funny. She hasn't got any money, you know.
Sorry?
If you're thinking of that.
I'm not.
But you know that, I suppose. I mean to say, it was one of the reasons you sent for me, wasn't it, to bring money?
Yes. I'm sorry if it looked like I was sending for you.
She never mentioned you.
Makes sense.
Not to me.
Never mind.
Oh, come on. You're a college boy. You know these things.
Perhaps she doesn't want you to think someone's doing what you should.
Say that again.
Makes sense to me.
Look, lad. I don't take much to do-gooders like you who think you know every bloody thing about every bloody one. Whatever arrangement me and my mother has come to is nothing to do with you. You hear that? Nothing. All this has come as a bit of a shock to you, isn't it?
Why should it?
Are you expecting me younger? Like that silly bloody picture she keeps there? She always was one for treating any adult like a kid. I suppose you got into the sort of feeling of being a sort of son to her. When you wrote that letter, you weren't really thinking of a real flesh-and-blood man was going to turn up, were you?
Why didn't you come down more? You hardly ever write. She misses you. She understands about your job.
I'm a bricky.
Oh,
come on, lad. Use those college brains. She's old. She's a romancer. She's half out of this world and into another.
Did you ever sit the college exam?
She made me try it twice. Young college gents don't turn into brickies.
Sorry.
That's what I mean. She romances. Her letters, half pure bloody moonshine. How she's been here and there, joined this club and that, read this book and that.
She reads. She does read.
Oh, so she reads.
Can't you see? She doesn't want you to feel you ought to be worrying about her.
I don't. She's a romancer.
If you knew she was making up all these friends, all these interests, you should have come down before.
I'll come down.
Can't you see? It all means she's lonely.
Grow up, boy. Everybody's lonely.
Then everybody who can ought to be doing something about it. You're her son, for God's sake. Is it any wonder she feels bad about mentioning me?
Listen. You're a youngster. You'll learn. You'll get out of your home one day and be glad. You'll make a life of your own with your own friends. You'll break away and make something really separate. Right?
Right.
I'll tell you this, boy. You shouldn't be so involved. It's not natural. I'll tell you something else. You should never have come here in the first place. It's done her no good. She was all right on her own when I saw her last year. You turned her soft.
Where's the cat?
Where do you think?
What?
Well, it's what you said in your letter, wasn't it? The cat's sick.
Where is he?
It was old. It was sick. I've seen to it like you wanted. All done proper. Cost me a quid, too. She's coming now. And we'll be the best of mates, right?
You sod! You rotten sod!
Come on, then, my old love. Train to catch in an hour.
Where's Andrew?
Gone.
What do you mean, gone?
Kettle's boiled. Hot and strong with two good spoons of sugar. Just like old times, eh, Mar?
Nan? Nan?
Sir?
Haven't seen much of you lately, boy. Not gone over to the fastest lackeys, have you?
Yes, sir.
How's the proud Nellie Deans? I gather the animal's okay since you didn't turn up at the meeting.
That's right.
Trace of disillusion in the air?
I'm painting the van for the kids over at Morland's. I told Tremaine.
Oh, well. All for the best, maybe. It doesn't do to get over-involved. Not fair on either of you.
Yeah, you told me.
Spring's round the corner. If she's got this far, she'll romp the rest. How's work?
Fine.
Right. Let me know any developments.
Right, sir.
And tell Tremaine he should have told me you'd swap to Morland's.
I think he's done very well. I thought it'd all be over in a week or two.
Nearly was, I seem to remember.
Yep.
How's O-levels?
Okay.
Time's going on.
How is his maids going?
I'm putting in the hours.
What? Can't hear.
He says he's putting in the hours.
Monica was wondering if you and Willie would make a banner for Sunday's march.
Sure.
Oh, God, not another march.
Nobody expects anything from you.
Thank you.
Vegetable casserole with dumplings, and I made some wholemeal rolls.
Great.
Yes, indeed. We must give up old ladies more often, Andy.
Bread, please.
All for the best, Andy. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers, Willie.
Well, don't you think so?
Could be.
She got in the way. We haven't been out for ages. You seem to put a right stopper on your sex life.
What sex life?
Well, you lost your touch.
What touch?
You got too serious, Andy. I thought you and she were going to settle down at one stage. Christ.
Huh.
Turn round. Slowly. Oh, too much. 16, would you say? 17? And two of them and two of us. Steady now.
Dear Mrs. D, I hope you're well and enjoying the end of the winter at last. I was wondering if you would like me to work in the garden now that spring is on the way. I often think about you and wonder how you're getting on. I would have called round to see you, but I wouldn't know what to do or what to bloody say because I got your cat destroyed and your illusions destroyed and probably your self-reliance destroyed. And I just don't think I could sit there opposite you, watching and knowing that you wouldn't know what to do or bloody say either. All right! Three double seven, double five seven. Well, hello there, sweetie pie. What? Sweetie pie.
Good morning, my boys, and what a morning. No, leave the door and window. Birds sing, lads. Sun shines, and a warmish wind nudges even my dull Celtic sap northwards past my kneecaps. Listen, my lovelies. Even Mr. Wilkinson's desperate prepubertals can sense a certain something in the air besides new underwear and floor polish. I now thank you for your 2 terms of social servicing and disband us all until post-exam lethargy sets in. Tell Tremaine if you want to pass on whatever you're doing to the younger generation in the meantime. I bless you all. When birds do sing, what? Hey, ding-a-ding-a-ding. What poor bloody Tudor fowl could have swallowed a bicycle bell? I wish you luck in the exams. Keep at it, lads. Work at it. Day and night. Now, dismiss.
Come here, Debbie.
Hmm? What's that for?
3 guesses. 4 weeks ago. Well, now the whole works.
I wouldn't exactly call it the whole works.
It used to be so complicated, thinking it out.
Hmm. Get the right person and there you go.
That's what Mrs. D used.
Careful.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well. At least it's the first time today. She's getting to be rather like the third that makes a crowd.
It's just, I don't know, so many things like that.
Yeah. Well, when did you last try?
Sunday week. No luck.
All right. I'll go again this Sunday.
Well, she won't
answer. Oh, yes, she will. Anyway, this needs sorting out. It's getting a bore. Mrs. D this and Mrs. D
hey,
that.
Hey. I need sorting out.
Hmm?
Come here.
Not again. Must be the meat.
Hey, Debbie.
What?
You won't tell my parents, will you? About the meat.
But you like it.
Oh, I like it.
We both like it.
I don't like it.
She's a nice girl.
I think she's got him on to meat.
They can't see enough of each other. They obviously make each other very content.
Sexually, you mean?
Andy seems several shades smugger, and Debbie positively purrs when she's with him.
I'm wondering whether someone ought to remind him of his responsibilities towards that old woman he took on. What's her name?
Mrs. Deans.
I mean, it's the end of the winter now.
You hypocritical old bird.
Not at all. I think he ought to have another interest besides this girl.
Like O-levels, you mean?
You know what I mean.
I do. Poor little Debbie.
Will you pass the cress?
I wonder if we ought to try a quick chew of meat every now and again.
Don't be revolting.
I haven't had you purring for 20 years.
I am not the purring type. Pass the crisp bread.
Poor Debbie.
Come along, Mrs. Deans. We know you're in there. It really has gone on long enough. Oh, please open the door.
She really doesn't want us, Debbie.
Mrs. Deans! Mrs. Deans!
please to stop this instant, miss.
Hello, Mrs. Deans.
Mrs. D.
Best come in.
Thank you.
Yes.
You should both be ashamed, both of you. Now, what is all this about?
Can't we go through to your kitchen, Mrs. Deans? Andy's always saying what a nice room it is. This way.
You come back here.
How are you, Mrs. D? Got through the winter, then?
Looks like it.
Why wouldn't you let
me
in?
Come on, Andy says to make a great cup of tea.
Is this the one?
Not exactly.
That's a relief, then.
She's a great girl, though.
Put you in working order, has she?
Yes.
Suppose she must have some sense, then.
And she got you to open the door.
I came round the college. I did. Not long after the old boy was put to sleep.
No one told me.
Saw the teacher for visiting.
Mr. Boyd, Welsh.
Said we mustn't get you too involved. Highly conscientious, that's what he said you were. And it did you no good to get your feeling so caught up in things.
Oh, no.
No, quite right. Quite right. Water under the bridge.
Mrs. D.
Taken the old exams yet? He mentioned them to the teacher, quite right.
I missed you. I was going to write.
All under the bridge, Andy.
Sorry, Mrs. D. About the letter. Mr. Muir, Tom. I wanted to get involved.
Yes, well, it all works out, like everything always does. What's all this got to do with her, anyway?
So, it's about time we had this business sorted out. I mean, Andy's very worried. And how you're getting on, and silly things like that. And, well, it's just getting in the way.
Getting in the way?
Well, it's not exactly.
Yes, and getting in the way of his O-levels. And in the way of him and me, as a matter of fact.
Funny how you can be in the way, even if you're doing your level best to be nowhere about at the time.
Anyway, I thought if we sat down and talked, well, we might be able to work something out.
Didn't know there was anything to be worked out.
I mean, maybe we could come round to tea once a week or something. Well, I could bring some food round one night, say, and cook it for us. Hey, what about a TV? We've got no one in the garage. We'd be company for you. I dare say Daddy would pay for the licence. Now, what day would you like us to come? Hey, you ought to get another light in this kitchen.
Listen, Miss High and Mighty, before you get me standing to attention every time you come into the room, I think we've got to get straight on one important thing.
Right.
This is my house, and what I do inside it, and who I want inside it, is my business. If you want to play at Mummy's and Daddy's, then you do it in your own home and in your own time.
Andy said you could be difficult.
Thanks, Deb.
I know girls like you. I suppose Mummy and Daddy sent you away to some posh boarding school. Yes? Am I right?
God, you're so prejudiced.
That's right. And now the little girl wants to play house and happy families. Well, go and use somebody else.
Look, just because you come from some vast, honest-to-goodness working-class family in some village and worked as some sort of maid or something, you think you're the salt of the earth.
Oh, I see. Someone has been discussing with someone else certain things that were meant to be private. Someone's gone very quiet. Got your tongue, has she, young man, as well as the rest?
Oh, this really is secrets night, isn't
it? I was pushed out into the world, Miss Know-All. Not stuck away in some toffee-nosed convent.
Well, I was. And for your information, I was 12 when the art master's son got to me. And I enjoyed it straight away.
Well.
So there.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Well, somebody tell me what the hell is going on.
Oh, man.
Now, Chaucer's prologue to the tales can roughly be said to deal with three levels of society. The nobility, the church, the rest. Now, that's an oversimplification, my lad, but for the moment it'll do.
What's the past now, participle of devoir? Do. Does it take avoir or etre? Avoir.
In my humble opinion, was a roaring snot.
How long for the bill? Any moment now. Christ. Should have done it last night.
Couldn't, Debbie.
Now, let's consider the night.
Debbie, Lord, typical. Lord.
And his son, the squire.
Hey, up.
Nairn?
Yes, sir?
The squire, Nairn.
Sir?
A lover and a lusty bachelor, Nairn.
Sir?
So hot he loved that he slept no more at night than a nightingale. Look at you. You're a wreck, washed out. Get some sleep, Nairn. Alone. And don't do other work in my classes. See me at the bell. And remember, Nairn, when Chaucer wrote Love Conquers All, he'd never heard of Orlenels. Get out. Nairn.
Why can't we go round to Nick's tonight?
I told you I've got extra work.
Well, don't you want to go round to Nick's?
Yes, of course I want to go round to Nick's.
Well, then why can't we go?
Because I've got work to do.
I'm going to go.
So go.
I thought you liked Nick.
I do.
Well, then why can't we go round to
Nick's? Oh, God, give me strength.
Hello, little boy.
Hi.
Is that him?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That's time.
How's it all going?
Bloody awful.
Oh, come on.
Look, Daddy, if I took these exams tomorrow, I'd get English language, English lit, and maybe history. Just the three. Maths, geography, French, chemistry, physics. I mean, forget it.
Okay, but that's tomorrow.
First exam is 2.5 weeks away, 17 days. Nothing's going to change much in that time.
Don't panic.
Oh, sure.
Edam cheddar cottage cheese salad.
Looks good. Great.
How's Mrs. Dean's? I hope you're getting that garden to rights. Everybody should grow vegetables these days.
That where you've been all evening?
No, round at Deb's.
What about your schoolwork?
Did most of it before. Got some more to do later.
You haven't been to Trent Road at all today, then?
If there's time, I'll go tomorrow.
You look washed out.
Okay, sorry.
I'm sure you're not getting all the rest you need.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, by the way, Monica tells me that the paint you put on yesterday, the last banner, ran during the night.
Okay, sorry.
I said you'd go round sometime tomorrow.
I think Andy's got more than enough on his plate at the moment.
Are you making a joke?
No.
Do you need to go round to see Debbie quite so often?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Take it easy.
I just wish everybody would leave me alone.
Pickles, please.
Excuse me.
That girl's doing him no good.
Who is it?
Just me.
Wait a minute.
On your own.
Come on in. Go through. What's up?
Oh, it's like being wound up too tight. You know, I'm not being able to do anything about it except let it go on happening. It's got quite hard to think. I sit there with the books and know what I've got to do. Then I sort of drift away somewhere. Crazy. Then everybody wants things and I can't get round. Oh, God, I think I'm going to cry. What a bloody mess.
Trouble with a mess is it's all mixed up. Nothing particular to hit back at.
Right.
Remember when Nell and me were looking after Hilda when she was just a toddler? Everybody else gone off somewhere that night. Nell and me were upstairs when there's this terrible crash from the kitchen. You should have seen us run. And what a mess. Smoke and ash everywhere. Hilda screaming on the floor with blood over her face. Food from the pot over the fire scattered. Anna's best plate from the mantelpiece smashed. Me, I began screaming too. But Nell, she kept her head. She sorted it out. Told me to shovel back the cinders and get the smoke out, while she saw to Hilda and got her to bed. Then we washed off the vegetables and put them back in the clean pot with fresh water and stock. Tried to stick the plate back. You know, son, in an hour, you wouldn't know what had happened. The baby had a cut in the hair, and you know how that bleeds. She tried to take the plate down and slipped, brought down everything. We still got a hiding and deserved it. But you see what I mean, Andy? Sort it out, bit by bit.
Okay. Well, there's the exams bit. They're almost here. And I just can't get at the work. It's all too much. And all the masters, they all expect everything from you. I just...
No, this is different exams.
Yeah, 8.
And you've got to pass them all?
Oh, hell no. No, there are 3 I'm not expected to get anywhere near a passing.
Are you sure of any?
2. Well, 3.
Be happy with passing 5, would you?
Oh, you're joking. I'd be delirious.
Well, then, it's only sense to stop bothering about those 3 nobody expects you to pass. You think about the 2 that you might pass. Mm. I'll bet that once you stop bothering about those hopeless ones, you'll feel better by far, my boy.
Well, then, there's the Debbie bit. That's mixed up a bit with the exams, really. Mm. She's a year younger than me. She doesn't take exams till next year, and she doesn't understand. You know, she wants me to go out every night.
Well, you've told her, haven't you?
Yes, but she's the first one I've ever... I can't... God, it sounds pathetic. I can't do without her. Not yet.
And she knows it?
Oh, yes.
You've got to be very firm with the father's girl, Andy.
She worships him.
You can see. And she'll worship you if you can show her that you can lay down the law, just like him. I shouldn't think anyone's stood up to that young lady ever. You give it a try.
The home bit. That's okay now I'm talking about it. It's crazy. They just want it to be like it always has been. I'm changing. Everything's changing. They'll have to put up with it.
No other bit.
As you.
Now, how in heaven's name am I any trouble to you?
It sounds ridiculous. That vegetable patch.
Oh!
No, but it's caught up with feeling bad about everything else, you know.
You think I care tuppence about that patch of mud out there? Now, listen. Here's what I think. I think as soon as school's over, you'd better come round here with your books. I'll clear off that table and have some tea ready. Now, I think you can work here as long as you need when nobody's going to come bothering you. Then you go home for supper, and what you get up to later, that's your own business.
Oh, yes, please, Mrs. Deans.
I'll keep you with the books, mind.
I don't know anyone else who could.
Where's Andy?
How should I know? Debbie's?
She's just phoned.
Probably stayed on at school. Only 10 days to 0.
Oh, damn. Monica wanted a poster painted tonight.
Ah.
Hi, Mrs. E.
Pleased to come in.
Just like old times.
Willie?
Yes, Deb.
Seen anything of Andy?
Saw him in class.
He just vanishes, honestly.
Well, not at home?
No.
Round at the Crones?
Well, I shouldn't think so.
No idea, then.
Hey, what are you doing tonight?
I'm working.
Yeah.
Deb, love, just 1 week to 0.
You'll have fun.
Well, anyway, he'd kill me.
But where the hell is he?
Mrs. D.
Had a good day?
Oh, not bad. Nearly slaughtered by the chem master.
Come through.
And told me I wasn't even trying.
This is very good, boy. Well written. Full of interest. Too good for O-level, really. And on time, too. 10 days ago, I thought you were about ready for the funny farm.
You and me both, sir.
Good luck tomorrow, Andrew.
Who is it?
Me, Mrs. Dean. Andy's girl.
Oh, yes.
I just wondered if you'd seen him.
I've kidnapped him, holding him to ransom.
Can I come in?
You come back when you've got Andy with you.
Oh, all right. If you see him, tell him I'm missing him.
You should let him get these examinations over.
Oh, but it's ages.
You won't explain.
Don't count on it. Oh, well. Cheers, Mrs. D.
If I see him, I'll tell him.
Mm-hmm. Guess who?
Oh, what did she want?
Not much doubt about that.
Oh, bloody exams.
You'll survive. Finished, then?
Yep. That is that.
I'll miss you.
Same here.
Take this.
What is it?
Oh, it's for luck. Not often let me down. It goes round your neck.
Great.
With that other pansy chain, you sissy.
Hey, watch it.
My old mum gave it me when I left home.
Thanks a lot, Mrs. D. And for everything.
I want it back, mind. Now, what time do you start in the morning? So I can be thinking of you.
Oh, 9.
Luck and love then, son. Give us a kiss.
Please settle down. You may begin as soon as you turn over the question paper. You may turn over the paper now.
Read the following carefully and answer 3 questions from section A. Read the following carefully and answer. Assign the following to their context.
Please stop that noise. Stop writing. Stop writing.
Second Reform Bill, Crimean War, Oxford Movement, Chartism.
More paper over here.
The Don Pacifico incident.
Stop.
Chemistry.
Stop.
Physics.
Stop. May turn them over now. Stop writing now.
And suddenly, life seems empty. You must be joking.
I am. Oh, hang about, Willie. Well, hi.
Your dad said come on up.
Did he?
All over, then.
Shall you take her first, bo'sun, or shall I?
You be the captain, captain.
So I be. Come you here, wench.
Oh, don't be silly.
Drive her out the larboard, captain.
Aye, aye, be aye.
There she blows.
Choke that badge.
Stop it.
I've got to come in.
Shut the wench up. Got you, wench, at last.
Okay, then, Andy. See ya. See ya, Deb.
All right, see ya.
Have fun.
Lock the door.
Hello, Mrs. D.
Hi, Mrs. D.
Well, look who it is. Will you sit or go inside?
Oh, this is lovely.
Yeah, great. What a day.
I thought those examinations must still be happening.
No, finished. 2 days ago.
We've come to give back your charm. It's beautiful.
Just hoped it worked.
Yeah?
No, you keep it.
No, it's yours. Your mother gave it to you.
You have it.
No, I couldn't.
Can I have it, please?
Well, now.
Please, Mrs. D.
Does she deserve it, Andrew?
Every bit.
Then, my lady, you'd best take it and welcome.
Oh, I'll really look after it. Thanks.
Something special about this summer. Something extra this year.
It's the fragrance of the carrot leaves.
Are you an idiot?
No. Everything's riper and quieter and more coloured and more everything. And it all fits together like music almost.
Harmony.
What? I suppose that's it, yes. Maybe the harmony's always been there, but I've been on the outside. Well, this year, I'm part of it, Summer.
Oh, don't you get part of them parsnips, Mum.
You can't see it, can you?
See what, Mrs. D? Hey, we're going camping in Wales.
The fun will be intense.
Ha ha.
Ho ho.
Listen to me now. It's all in a pattern. No, listen. Everything that happens is part of a pattern. I don't know if there's someone or something weaving it, or if we make it up as we go along. Mm. But I know there's bright colours and drab, that it can be black as the darkest minute of your life. Yet that black only makes the next colour shine the lighter.
Yeah.
There's all shapes, simple or all mixed up, but they all have their shape and they all fit the pattern. And what's wonderful, truly wonderful, is to feel the pattern filled out in full colour and know that it's being filled out more every moment. That whatever shape is forming now, here, at this minute, is all part of a lifetime's living and feelings. And that we can accept it. Harmony, like you said. God Almighty, my dears, there's only one sin, and that's to weave a blank sheet, because that's a wasting of a complete life. But the best is that others want to weave their colours and shapes into our patterns, making them richer. So spin a loving thread, and I can't tell if you're part of my pattern or if I'm part of yours. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
The end of the year, my social boys, and even the Wilkinson warblers fall silent in respect. Next year, as sixth formers, with your laziness officially sanctioned, you will have no such calls on your time. So go your ways, smug in the knowledge that you have helped to keep old ladies off the streets, and if you've had a laugh or two in the process, why then, you're winning. Enjoy holidays, endure results, take care, be good, and bugger off.
Hey, Deb.
What?
Stay there.
Oh, why?
Take a picture. You look great.
Oh, hurry up. I'm breathing.
No, you look great.
Card from Andy.
Oh, yes. Do you want chives in the cottage cheese?
Please. Fantastic time, fantastic weather. See you, Andy. Notably short on the wish you were here.
What?
Never mind.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I thought such an idiot.
I'm sorry. Oh, come here.
No, Andy.
What do you mean, no?
Well, that barmaid really made me look small.
Okay, okay.
Watch where you're going.
Car.
Weather okay. Turned out of a field last night late. Didn't please m'lady. Wales is a drag. Moving on. See you soon. Aye, aye, Captain. But watch out for them rocks.
Christ, you can be awkward.
You don't own me, you know.
Oh, shut up.
Thanks. I wish you'd wash. You smell.
Thank you. Oh, come on, Deb. This is ridiculous.
I said you don't own me.
What do you mean?
Oh, go to sleep.
Some bloody hoax.
Move over.
Move over yourself.
Let me see. Trying hard, but high and mighty, definitely not the one. Pattern very complicated. What do you think it means?
Coming home weekend.
I'm glad to tell somebody.
See you soon, love, Andy.
I always said 4 weeks would be too long.
Who's readdressed it?
Same hand that addressed the parcel.
Oh, dear.
Poor kid.
What did you say?
Hi, Mum. Hi, Dad.
Andy.
Surprise.
You should have rung.
You got the card about coming home?
Yeah, this morning.
We thought you'd ring. We were going to collect you in the car.
Let me get this bloody pack off.
Full of filthy washing.
Oh, well, that's what mothers are for, I suppose.
How did you know?
Used occasionally to take to the hills myself.
Debbie not with you?
Nope.
Oh.
But you had a good time.
Yeah, fair, fair. Anything to eat?
Well, bread and cheese do for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Recommended. Bread's fresh from the oven.
Great. So, how have you two been?
Free from your restrictive influence.
Thanks for all the cards.
Covered a lot of ground.
I suppose so.
Lucky with the weather.
Right.
Bread and cheese, coffee percolating.
Great. Thanks. What's all this?
It's a card you sent Mrs. Deans.
Did I put your address on by mistake?
No, it's been readdressed here.
Well, what's this package?
Andy. Your Mrs. Deans died while you were away.
We're very sorry.
We didn't know where you were.
We sent flowers from you.
It's very peaceful, apparently. She died in her sleep.
No.
The college...
No!
Your room's ready.
I'll bring up coffee later.
Go on up, Andy.
Take the parcel.
Dear Andrew, sorry we are in touch again over a sad business like my dear mother's passing, Mrs. Marjorie Deans, but she had a good and full life, really. I am sorry that when we were at the last meeting face to face, it was not happier then as well. The neighbours tell me how you were a good friend to my mother, so I am sending you something in appreciation. She was not wealthy, so I hope the £5 from myself will be acceptable for your efforts. The books were tied up with your name and address, so she wanted you to have them. Yours sincerely, Thomas Deans.
Feeling better now?
Yes. Yes. Stupid.
No.
How's the boy?
Better.
Stupid of me.
I brought us all another cup.
Thanks.
The ghastly son was sent a £5 tip.
It probably makes him feel less guilty.
If that's what he wants. I know Mrs. D would want me to keep it.
What about the books?
Oh, remember all her stories? The chair story at the new house in Trent Road. Working at the big house, the family stories. Well, she'd written them down. As well as... Oh, look.
Yes, yes. Some of these exercise books are 50 years old or more.
One's much more.
You ought to take them to a publisher.
No, she wouldn't want that, I know.
Well, we get the chance to look at them.
Some.
Anything about you?
It's not... I'm sorry.
No, it's all right, old boy.
It's a big shock.
That book looks very new.
Must have bought it about a month ago.
Anything in it? Can we see?
Just the one thing.
Thanks. A poem, no less. Can I read it?
If you like.
The years stretch flat, all time is late. To be fulfilled, the patterns wait. Now trust the heart and not the head to spin a loving thread.
That's Mrs. Deans.
I really wish I'd known her.
Yes.
Too late.
That was Spin a Loving Thread by Alec Rowe, with Betty Hardy as Mrs. Deans and Stephen Pacey as Andy. Boyo, Douglas Blackwell. Mrs. Nairn, Diana Bishop. Mr. Nairn, William Edel. Willie, Peter Craze. Tom, John Rowe. Deb, Glynis Brooks. Invigilator, Malcolm Reed. The play was produced and directed by Richard Wortley.